Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. My name is Corey Johnson, and I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church, and we're thrilled to have you worshiping with us in our new location. I don't know about you, but how many of us are comfortable with change? I expected that. Not many people are comfortable with change, you know. For some of us, once we get settled and we're locked into something, we just want to keep it there because, you know what, I just like it the way it is. But one thing I begin to realize is that when we experience change and when God introduces change in our lives, it's an opportunity for us to grow in our faith and trust in Him more. Amen? And so as we come here, let us look with anticipation to see what is God going to do in this new location. The earlier service was tight, and and that is fine. But at the same time, we're thankful to God for providing this location. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. With that said, we are in a new location, and we're also in a new series. Our series, and for the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about this idea of divine interruptions. And it's the idea that there are times where God will insert himself in your life in a very visible way, sometimes in a very audible way, and he's given you an opportunity to respond. And whether or not you respond, well, depending on how you respond, you will see the outcome of that. But for the most part, when we respond to God in a favorable way, we see him use us to do some amazing things. And so today, as we look at Acts chapter 8, we're going to see one such experience. So before we get started, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we just want to say thank you for your mercies and for your grace towards us this morning. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be here where we can gather together as a family and worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask, Holy Spirit, that even as we're here this morning, that we will not get so overly concerned with the location, but God, we will get overwhelmed by your provision, Almighty God. We realize, oh God, that the building is not the church, a location is not the church, but the people, we are the church. We've come to realize, oh God, that wherever we are gathered together, your word tells us that you will be in the midst to bless us and to do us good. And so, God, as we're gathered here this morning, will you open up our ears and our hearts to hear what you have to say to us this morning as we wait on you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When I was younger and when I was a kid growing up, my parents, they used to give us some words of wisdom. And those words of wisdom would teach us how to conduct ourselves in certain situations. One of the sayings that they used to have was that when you have manners or when you're polite, it will take you through the world even if you don't have any money. In other words, how you treat people, you know, whether or not you move forward in life depends on how you treat people. And that was some good wisdom, and I've taken that with me wherever I've gone. One of the other things that they used to tell me, though, was that do not talk to strangers. How many of us have heard that before? Don't talk to strangers. And as a kid, that made sense because they were trying to protect you, you know, and, you know, back then, you know, talking to strangers was a dangerous thing. You know, they might abduct you or something like that. But as you grew up, you realize that that doesn't make sense, right? Because how can you make friends if you don't talk to strangers? I mean, husbands and wives, come on. Before you met, you were complete strangers, yes? But somewhere along the lines, your lives intersect, your lives cross, and now there's something beautiful. Some of us, we have children, right, that has spawned from that marriage, and that's a beautiful thing. And so what we're going to see here is we're going to see how God uses a hitchhiker to bring a complete stranger to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. A hitchhiker to bring a complete stranger to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so what we want to do is that we want to turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and we're going to be reading from verse 26 to verse 40. I believe it's going to be, okay, perfect. It's going to be on the screen. Here begins. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near to it. We want to pause right there. As we're thinking about this idea of divine interruptions, how many of us have ever been interrupted in our lives? Right? We don't enjoy interruptions. Why? Because more often than not, we're doing something important. And we want to focus our energy. We want to channel all our thoughts on what we're doing. But the reality is that if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there are going to come seasons, there are going to come times in your life where God is going to interrupt your personal agenda for you to go see about something he wants you to do and accomplish. And this is precisely what is happening here. And the first point I want to make this morning is that God will guide you to those whose heart he's prepared to hear the truth. When he's interrupted your life and he wants you to make an impact in somebody else's life, he's going to guide you to those individuals whose heart he's prepared. In this one passage here, we're introduced to two individuals, Philip and the eunuch. Now, let me give you a little bit of a background on Philip. Philip, before he got called here, if you will, he was in the city of Samaria and he was preaching. In other words, he had a very successful ministry. He was preaching the gospel and people were coming to Christ and people were excited about Jesus. They were excited about hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what he was doing, it was flourishing. But before that, he was also one of the seven that was appointed to take care of the distribution of food earlier in Acts chapter 6. So he was also serving there. So God called him. He was serving there. A persecution broke out in the church, and now he had to move. He moved to the city of Samaria. He was preaching, and he was doing great. And in the middle of that ministry, God called him and said, hey, I want you to shift location. I want you to move from where you are and go down a road where it's probably vacant at the time. So that's Philip. We are also introduced to the eunuch. The eunuch is, and the Bible tells us who he is, he's a high official person, and he was in charge of all the treasury of Candake. And that tells you that this man was a high official. He was in high position, right? But it's beautiful because here is one man who was doing ministry, very fruitful in what he was doing, very successful in what he was doing. God called him, interrupted his life. And here's another man who is going home. And all of a sudden, God interrupted his life. Do you see what is going on here? God is about to make a divine meeting. Have you ever met somebody in your life that you just knew it wasn't just chance that we met? It wasn't just by coincidence that we met, but this was a God-ordained thing? This is what is happening right here. So as we look at the story this morning, as I said before, God will guide us to those whose heart is ready to hear the truth. And we want to take a look at two things. Let's look at Philip. Philip, if you don't mind. Thank you. When God is guiding you, he will guide you to the right location at the right time. He will guide you to the right location at the right time. Here the Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, hey, Philip, go south. Go down to this road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. And there's nothing that indicates that the Spirit told him that, listen, you're going to meet this person and this is what he's going to look like and everything like that. No, he was just obedient to the call of God and he went. And sometimes when God calls you, all he wants you to do is to obey. All he wants you to do is to respond. And as you respond, he will unfold to you what you need to know as you move forward. Guess what that is called? It's called trusting God. Amen? Amen. So when God guided Philip, he guided him to the right location at the right time. But he also guided him to the right person in the right vehicle. Now talk about God, right? What are the chances that Philip would be going down the road and he would meet this man in this semi-desert place, if you will? This was a God-ordained meeting. So when God is leading you, when God is guiding you, don't worry about who you're going to come across. If God is in it, it's going to be the right place, the right time, the right person, and if you will, the right vehicle. Amen? So that is Philip. The second part of this is that God will prepare the hearts of those who he wants you to influence. In this case, it was the eunuch. And there's several things about this eunuch that I want to bring to your attention. Number one, he was a seeker. He was somebody that was seeking for truth. He was seeking for God because the Bible tells me that he was coming from Jerusalem, and the reason why he went to Jerusalem was to worship. In other words, this man was a worshiper. And, you know, it's one thing to go to church. It's another thing to read your Bible. Okay, I knew I wasn't going to get an amen on that, so it's all right. So here's a man, he was going to church, but he was not only going to church, but he was also reading his Bible. And the part of the Bible that he was reading, it was not an easy section of the Bible. It wasn't, you know, is there any easy section of, okay. but it was the prophet Isaiah. And some of you scholars in here, you know, you've read through the book of Isaiah and you realize that it's a complex piece of work. But it's God's word nonetheless. And this was the passage that this man was reading from. And as the Lord would have it, the Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, hey, I want you to draw near to this chariot. I want you to draw near to this person and stay with him. As a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, our tendency, our proclivity, if you will, our heart's desire should be moving towards people, not moving away from them. And when God has interrupted your life and he's about to intersect your life with somebody else's, he just doesn't want you to just come and say, hi, how are you doing, and walk away. No, he wants you to come and stay close to the individual. He wants you to come and stay close to the person that he wants you to influence. Amen? That's the divine appointment. That's the divine interruption. Let's continue. Verse 30 says, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Let's stop right there. What we see here is that Philip is going along and he's walking alongside the chariot, if you will. I don't know if he's walking or running, but he's coming alongside the chariot. And he heard this man reading. Ask him a few questions and he invited him up. And this is the point that comes out of this, or this is what I see coming out of this, is that people can encounter God's grace as they invite you into their struggles. People will and they can experience God's grace as they invite you into their struggles. This week, there was an incident that happened at work, and it was an admin, and she came to my office and she was complaining about another admin. And at the time, I was just listening to what this person was saying, and she was really furious about, you know, what transpired. Apparently, she asked another person to do something. The person didn't do it in a timely way and everything. And so during the week, you know, I just felt as though I needed to say something to her because we're working in the same department. We're working on the same floor, and we're all on the same team. So teamwork is very important. And so if you have beef, okay, if you're upset, okay, if you're upset with someone, you want to clarify that. You want to clear the air, right? And so on Friday, I decided that I would definitely say something. So I called her in the office and sat her down and said, hey, what's going on here? Explain to me what's happening here. And, you know, why is this going on? But while I'm talking to her, the only words that she kept repeating was, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. And then I'm like, okay, I'm saying to myself, how quickly can I end this meeting? Because obviously this is going nowhere. And what I realize is that It is hard for you to advise someone if they have not invited you into their struggle. Husbands, okay, let me not go there. Sometimes our wives are they're saying things to us, and you want to go ahead and solve the problem. Am I the only one? No, it's not a problem to be solved unless she asks you to solve it. And the reality is, the truth is that people can encounter or they can experience God's grace when they invite you into the struggle that they have. And this is what is going on here. Philip goes alongside this man, and he takes the initiative, and he engages this man and says to him, "Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what's going on here?" And I love Philip's approach, because there are three things that he does here that gives us some understanding or gives us a way in which we can engage those people that God put us in contact with. The first thing that Philip did was that he observed. He observed what was going on. He didn't just jump in and offer a solution. "Hey, I'm a preacher. Hey, I'm a prophet, and this is what you need to do." No, he observed for a while. He saw that the man was reading, and he observed. The second thing that he did was that he asked a simple yet relevant question: "Do you understand?" In other words, as Philip is talking to this man, he's not just pulling something out of the sky. He's not just pulling something out of his hat or anything like that. No, it was simple and it was relevant to what that man was going through. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" That's a good question. It's the book of Isaiah after all. It's a good question, right? Let me just stop right there. If you don't understand how your life works, and if you don't understand things in the Word of God, you need to seek out those who do and have them explain it to you, because that is critical to your growth and your development as a believer. You know, we might be in church here, and you know, it's easy for us to hide, isn't it? Oh, the preacher is preaching and you don't understand a word that he's saying, but not because of some language issues. No, but the next person beside you is shaking their head and you're looking over and you're like, but you don't get it, right? That doesn't do you any good. No, stop, seek out guidance from someone to explain something to you, because it's going to be critical to your growth and success. As you look at the disciples of Jesus Christ, they were doing the same things. There were times that Jesus would speak a parable to the crowd. There were times when Jesus would do a teaching and they didn't understand it. But sure enough, they would pull Jesus aside and ask Jesus, "Could you explain this? Could you elaborate on this? What did you mean when you said this?" And it was then that they got the understanding and they were able to grow and develop. Understanding is the gateway to more knowledge. Amen? Understanding is the gateway to more knowledge. Amen. So Philip, he observed, he asked a question, and lastly, he listened. He listened. He listened. And what he was listening for, he was listening for echoes of what God was already doing in this man's life. Here is a man, he's a seeker of God, and God was already at work in his life. But God just needed to bring somebody alongside him who will, if you will, introduce him to Jesus, explain the confusion, bring clarity to what he was going through, and lead him to Christ. Do you see what is happening? God was already at work in this man's heart, and Philip was listening for that. Let's move forward. So we're introduced to Philip. He observed, asked, and he listened. But we're also told about the eunuch's attitude. And I just love this man's attitude. I love this man's attitude. I love this man's attitude. Why? Here is a high-ranking official who was humble. I don't know about you, but folks, as they tend to move up with power, and especially in the secular world, they get a little bit arrogant, don't they? Okay, I guess I'm the only one who has experienced that. But they tend to be filled with pride. "Oh, I am that and a bag of chips. Who are you to be talking to me?" But no, he was humble. And I like this about this man. because that suggests to me that God is able to work with him. In James chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible tells me that the hand of God is against the proud. In other words, God opposes the proud. I don't know about you, but if God opposes you, nobody can help you. Let that sink. If God is against you, no one can help you. So the Bible says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Do you see? He gives grace to the humble. He's able to work with you when you're humble. And this man was humble. Not only was this man humble, but he was honest. He was honest about his need. He didn't cover it up. He didn't pretend. No, he said, How can I understand? How can I understand unless somebody teaches me? Unless somebody shows. He was honest about his need. And finally, he was willing to learn. He was willing to learn. He wasn't a Mr. Know-it-all. Oh, I know what I'm reading. I'm good. I'm good. I have my degree in economics. I have my degree in finance. I have my degree in theology. I'm good. You don't need to tell me anything. No. He was humble. He was honest. And he was willing to learn. A person like that, man, God can use. Amen? Amen. So, the last point I want to make, and before we transition and close, is this. Because people are going to experience God's grace as we walk with them through their struggle, we need to equip ourselves to guide them to the truth. If people are going to experience God's grace with us, not only as we are invited into their lives, but as we walk alongside them, we must equip ourselves to guide them to the truth. It's going to happen. Equip yourself. It's going to happen. Equip yourself. It's almost like you're going on a journey. You're going to make sure that there's gas in the tank. You're going on a long journey. Make sure that there's gas in the tank. It's the same thing here. It's going to happen. Equip yourself. I think it was last week where Craig was preaching, and he was talking about this idea of knowing God's story, knowing the Word of God. Because as you go out there and you engage people in culture, at the end of the day, you have to be able to bring them back to the Word of God. Amen? So let's look at what happens here. Verse 32. This is a passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Verse 34. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus Christ. Philip, I would have loved to be there to get just a glimpse of what that sermon was about. Because Philip was able, he didn't pull a different text from John 3, verse 16. He didn't pull a different text from Romans. No, he started with that very same passage of scripture and explained the good news of Jesus Christ to this man. Now, that takes skill. That takes skill. And the reality is that when God puts people in our lives for us to influence, we have to be able to assess where they are and to approach them based on where they are. This man was a seeker of God, but the issue is he was confused. He needed clarity. He needed to know. He needed to understand who this man was talking about. Was he talking about himself, or was he talking about somebody else? He needed answers. And Philip, attuned to the Spirit of God, knew that the answer he needed was Jesus Christ. The reality is, Jesus Christ is the answer to life's most important questions. It doesn't matter your gender, it doesn't matter your occupation, it doesn't matter your nationality. All of us have basic questions that we ask. Why am I here? What is my life about? What is my purpose? What is my calling? What is my destiny? What's my future? The answer is Jesus. Those are life's most basic and most important questions, and the answer is always the same, Jesus. And Philip here, he took the opportunity to assess where this man was and shared Jesus Christ with him. This man's life turned around because of a divine interruption. His life changed because of a divine interruption. And many of us here can say that that is our story as well. You were going about doing your own thing, and God called you. You were on your way climbing up the corporate ladder of success, and Jesus called you. You were heading down a particular relationship, and Jesus rescued you from that relationship. Divine interruptions. And so as this eunuch, as he encountered Jesus, his life was changed, his life was transformed. And so too can our lives be transformed and changed as we encounter Jesus. And so as I close this morning, the question I want to close with is, where is your faith with Jesus? How is your faith with Jesus? How is your faith? Some of us in here this morning, we have no faith. Some of us in here this morning, I was talking with someone early, and she was just sharing, and you could sense the heartbreak, but she was just saying that her daughter had abandoned her faith. That, you know, she's praying and everything like that, and that's wonderful, you know, and that's all the encouragement I could give her. But there's some people who have abandoned their faith, walked away from the faith. There are others, their faith is just small, just a small amount, but they have faith. And for some of us in this room this morning, we are struggling with our faith. Struggling. You're saying, God, I offered this thing to you 5-10 years ago, and I'm still struggling with it. Why? God, I thought I had gotten over this mess, but still in my 40s, 50s, and 60s, I'm still dealing with this thing. Why? God, I thought I'd gotten over that relationship. I thought I'd gotten over that hurt. I thought I'd gotten over that rejection. But God, in my 30s, I'm still struggling. Why? My only answer to you this morning is Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. If I can be vulnerable for a few minutes and then we're going to close. And I didn't share this in the previous session, but growing up, I struggled with rejection. Big time. Spoke to my mom when I was 26, and she was explaining to me what happened in my childhood and everything, and struggled with rejection so much so that when I was being called to the ministry, I said no because I don't want to deal with people's rejection. Oh, yeah. Pastor Kevin can attest to this, but coming up here and preaching... I didn't want to have to face that. But the person who was, I was under shepherd, they said, listen, God has a calling on your life. And so now I had to go to God and say, God, what is going on here? Why am I struggling with this? Why do I feel this way? And God took me on a journey back into my past, back into my childhood. Man, I spoke to my mom one night, and my wife was there right beside the bed when I was talking to mom, and she could just hear me sobbing, like sobbing. Because I began to understand how my past had impacted who I was becoming. And coming out of that experience, I handed it over to God. God, now I know what's going on. I'm giving it to you. And when I gave it to him, he delivered me from it. So much so now that, listen, it's wonderful when you're impressed.